This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Relevance and integration back in the world. That's what we're going to be covering today. And I have the amazing Tony Durex, who does video content with me, also does social media content.
Yes. Thank you.
Does not want to be called an influencer.
No, I don't like the word.
However,
nobody does. Yeah. No influencer wants to be called an influencer.
Exactly.
Andrea Russett's with us as well, who's beautiful. I think she's the prettiest. I mean, no one should get up.
Oh my God.
But Andrew's very attractive.
Wow. All thank right, you.
I'll say it. You're the prettiest guest we've had on this podcast.
You guys.
You
guys are just buttering me up so I spill. Huh?
Literally, when you went to the restroom, I said to Tony, I was like, God, she's beautiful. And he was like, she really is.
And mind you, we're both gay. So we're just, the fact that you came in and we're both like in awe.
Tony, please don't label me. No.
Well, thank you.
But you're a musician, you create content. Do you like to be called an influencer?
I don't, but it's what I am.
Why don't you like that?
I don't know. I feel like it has such a bad rep because of certain influencers, like the Jake Pauls of the world. So I don't want to be lumped in with those people. And I also don't want to be in one category because I'm so much more.
Mm. Got it. Do you feel like, because you started doing this about 10 years ago. That's when everything built up for you.
Yep.
And so you've had a huge YouTube. I mean, you have millions of subscribers. Your pages get a lot of views. Why do you think people are so attracted to you?
I'm still trying to figure that out. No, I think it's because I try to really be authentic. Like I said to you before this, I'm very open and talk about the good and the bad, where I think a lot of other influencers just try to paint this perfect life, like the aesthetics and like, this is my morning routine, where it's like, if I'm going to do a morning routine, I'm going to roll out of bed at like noon because I'm depressed and just, you know, like be realistic about it. So I think people find that relatable.
And what are influencers like? Is it a community of people that like hang out, or there's like the cool influencers and then there's like the relevance, because everyone during COVID, no matter what career we've been in, mm-hmm. there's a degree of not feeling totally relevant.
Yeah.
Because the phone's not ringing. The deals aren't happening, let's say, or they're happening for other people and we're going, why aren't they happening for us? Mm-hmm. Have you had that feeling or experience?
Oh yeah. And like even in the YouTube world or influencer world, I typically keep to myself. I don't really hang out with other influencers. I mean, I did like maybe 5 years ago when I was like freshly 21 and we were all going out doing things. But in the last 3 years, I've kind of just found my own little bubble. I have like three friends that I keep to. So especially during quarantine and COVID, I definitely struggled with feeling irrelevant and creatively stuck. Like you don't know what to do. But yeah, you just kind of gotta focus on creative outlets and get through it.
Yeah. Is it hard to, I have to imagine, because there's a lot of comparison game with looking at YouTubers
and
or people who do social media and have big platforms. And Tony, you have a sizable following and you make kind of comedy videos. Like, do you ever find that you like get jealous or you compare?
Oh yeah, for sure. There was a time, like maybe like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where I was like comparing my stuff to everybody, comparing the deals that I wasn't getting that other people were getting. I was like, man, like this sucks. Like, why is it that I'm trying so hard? I'm putting so much effort into my videos, but no one seems to like care. Yeah. And there's people who do so little that get big brand deals, which now I look at it and I'm just like, you know what? Everyone's in their own lane.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I always, when I find myself comparing, there's like two things I try to remind myself. One, everybody's on their own timeline. Like, and everybody has to trust their own process. If everybody succeeded at once, it wouldn't be succeeding. It would just be like everybody doing the same shit. And then the other thing I try to remind myself is like, nothing is what it seems online. So if somebody's like posting and they look like they're succeeding and life is so great, there's things behind the scene that you don't see.
Facts.
So you just kind of got to focus on your own lane, like you said, and just
like, are there any examples you guys can think of? Like when you say, because I mean, I guess my brain goes to like, okay, the person who's posting the perfect family or the perfect, I don't know, skincare routine or whatever it is. And then because of their vibe and their energy, people would, I guess, assume that they're really happy. Is that like behind the scenes, they could be totally upset?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen it a lot with the Ace family, too, which is really big on YouTube. They've had so many scandals about like what's really going on behind the scenes. But in their vlogs on their channel, it's like this picture perfect family and they've got this beautiful house and cars. And it's just not
reality.
Called
the Ace family?
Yeah, their last name is Ace, I think.
And how do you think a family like the Ace family got so big? Like, why do people care what this family's even doing?
It's like what people want for their future. They want the perfect family.
So it looks perfect. Like, what is it? Like, nice cars and house and it's champagne problems. And is it relatable?
I don't think it's relatable, but a lot of people do because that's what they dream of as their ideal life.
Is it like a white family?
I think they're mixed.
He's African-American and the girl is, I think, I want to say either, I think she's Latina.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but I think she also dated someone who was famous previously. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Michael B. Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah, so she already had
got like it. So it's almost like you get some momentum.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, for me, I just started working on my YouTube channel like a year ago. And I feel like, and I'm 41 years old and I turned 42 in September. It's discouraging a little bit because I'm like, I feel like I started so late in the game.
Yeah.
And also, it seems a lot younger. And so I'll see other people in the self-help space, like a therapist who basically critiques, but she's terrible. This YouTube therapist I see is absolutely horrendous. Yeah. And she's critiquing other therapists who do work on television. And like this lady, I'm like, I wouldn't send someone to her for free, but there's like all the kids are like, that's so amazing. And you're brilliant. I'm just sitting there going like, does this lady even have a private practice? But I guess you can kind of make up whatever persona you want.
Yeah.
Until it gets to the point where you feel inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably when creatively you start to collapse.
Yeah. And burn out.
Have you had that happen where you?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, not necessarily like the collapse, because I don't think I've ever portrayed myself as somebody I'm not online, thank God. But the burnout, oh my God, yeah. And seeing other people portray themselves as something they're not, and then knowing them in real life and just like thinking like, is this what I have to do to succeed? Do I need to like make up this false character? Do I need to do all this just to succeed? Because I don't want to do that. That's not me.
Yeah, Tony and I go back and forth because in the coaching world, it's all a facade, right? So a lot of the biggest coaches, not like the iconic legendary life coaches, but in the public eye, I would say social media coaches.
Yeah.
The majority of them have bought more than half their Instagram following. Like, it's obvious to me.
Yeah.
And they're preaching authenticity and they say, just keep showing up and just do the right thing and don't care about the numbers. And I know that they're full of shit.
Yeah.
But I keep my mouth shut because I'm like, all right, now I'm going to enter the Petty Awards, right? Like, yeah. But my brain sometimes goes like, God, I wish the algorithm just wiped out the bots and the fake people so that the world could actually like just see people for who they are. Because I've learned a lot in the last few years, but the everyday person literally just looks at someone's profile and thinks they have millions of followers and millions of people care about them. It's extremely difficult to have that many people actually care about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly common that people are buying followers, right?
I know. And then it's like, it puts this pressure on everybody that like, you don't have this many followers, you're doing something wrong. Yeah. It's like, that's not the case.
Is that with your guys' demographic too, that people are buying following? And
I definitely know of people that have bought followers, but I think not so much anymore because you can see the ratio to comments and likes and all that stuff.
It's I think the adults don't get it in my business. Like producers on other television shows, they literally just look at someone's stuff and they're like, they're huge.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, like
engagement isn't there.
No, or the engagement you look and it's the same comment six different times. Yeah. That's like in another language. And then you go to their page and they've never done a post. Yeah. I find I've like part of me, and this could be, and I don't know why I care.
Yeah.
Like, but I think because in the coaching world and with authors and when we're preaching self-help and be authentic, and then I feel like that's kind of in my world, like that's what I've been in for many years. And then when people start to, where I feel I'm like rubbing shoulders, and then I want to say to them, dude, you're not being real.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would actually help anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By me it's doing
hard.
That.
It's hard to keep your, it's hard to bite your tongue.
Oh, I know.
Trust me. I'm like, there's so much I could say, but I'm like, just bite your tongue. You know what? At the end of the day, I truly know when someone's unhappy.
Yep.
Like I know for a fact, I'm like, they're portraying this image of like, I have this. My life is great, but I'm like, you're unhappy.
Yeah.
I know it. Like I'm like, you know what? Take a step back and just
let me be. Because that's like the bigger issue too. It's like if like you said, you can tell when people are unhappy because they try so hard to prove that they are happy. Mm. And like, it's not my job to put that on blast or like expose that because they're clearly dealing with things. And if that's the way they cope, then like, they're going to have to figure it out on their own. Exactly. It's nobody else's job.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You could be cool to come to this group that I'm putting together. I'm putting together a group because part of it is getting reintegrated in life, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we all get reintegrated?
Yeah.
How reintegrated are you?
I don't go places, but I didn't really go places before the pandemic.
So it feels the same?
A little bit. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated now, so I feel comfortable like going to dinner once in a while or going like doing things like this, mm-hmm. but I'm not like going to the bars every night and like going out and doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'm putting together this group because I was like, it would be cool if I put together a group of people. They just get together. It's like a mastermind at my house. And I have my friend Eureka, who's on RuPaul's Drag Race, Richie Jackson does Gaga's choreo. My friend over at Disney, who's an executive, ESPN, another, like a few other people. And it's just going to be like a 2-hour meeting at my house just to connect.
Yeah.
And where there'll be a topic and everyone just kind of talks about like, here's what I'm working on. Here's what I'm trying to get to take off. Here's what's not working for me. Does anyone have any solutions? Because sometimes it's really hard to figure out what solution there are to problems that you've never worked before.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes it takes that experience. So I may call you up on that and see if you want to swing by.
I'm
for
down.
It. Could be cool, right?
Yeah.
Definitely absolutely. Be the youngest one there.
I want to know though. I definitely want to know more about you. You said you've been doing social media or you've been on social media for the past over 10 years.
Yeah.
What's something that like definitely you've like learned to do and not do and like on social media?
I think because I started so young, like I was like 13 when I first started tweeting and all that shit. I learned to not, well, I guess I never learned to not overshare because I was so young. It's all I knew. And it was like, I was on Tumblr telling my deepest, darkest secrets to strangers, you know? So I learned that it's okay to be vulnerable because it helps other people. And I like to post things that I wish I would have seen when I was younger and confused or trying to figure myself out. So I learned that it's okay to be vulnerable online. And the thing I learned to not do over the years is respond to the negativity, like the hate comments, because it's just, it's never about me. If somebody's commenting something negative, like totally out of pocket, it's about them and it's projection. And interacting with it is only going to make it worse.
Was there a point where you ever got like a lot of hate?
Thankfully, I've never like, I mean, knock on wood, I've never been like canceled or exposed. I mean, I've gotten hate for things, but it's like pretty small things. But yeah, I've gotten pretty lucky where I just keep to myself, man. I'm low key. Yeah, I don't want good. The drama.
But don't you think, though, that the bigger the career gets for you, that then it becomes more of a target?
Absolutely.
No? Yeah.
Yeah. And especially with going into music now, I'm fully prepared for people to not like my music. There's music out there that I don't like. And I just have to remind myself that if I like what I'm creating and I'm proud of it, then it doesn't matter. And if other people like it too, that's a bonus. But I'm doing it for me because it's what I'm passionate about.
Right. So how long have you been doing music?
The last 3 years.
And are you with a label or?
No, I'm independent right now, but I only have 2 songs out. And then I took like 6 months not releasing anything to kind of figure out my sound and what I really like in music. And now I'm putting out my first song since then this month.
And was it scary to get to the point to like start putting out music in an arena where people are like?
Oh yeah. Especially coming from like YouTube, where everybody's like, oh, every YouTuber, every TikToker wants to do music. It's like, I was up against all of that and just already not being taken seriously as a musician. So that's why I put the extra work in. I did a year of vocal training. I went to like a million writing sessions. I am constantly in the room being a part of every part of the process because I want to be taken seriously. So it was really nerve-wracking when I put out my very first song, but did really well.
What's the song about?
It's called Darkest Hour. It's like about, it's weird. I like spoke it into existence. It's about being in a relationship, but dealing with depression and wondering like, are you going to be there when I'm at my lowest? Mm. And I spoke it into existence.
What'd you say?
I spoke it into existence because nice. I was in a relationship and that exact thing happened and they weren't there.
Oh man. I got to ask as well. Are you from LA?
No, I'm from Indiana.
When did you move to LA?
A week after I turned 18. It was 7 years ago.
7 years ago. Nice. Mm. And did you left right after high school?
I dropped out of high school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I just kind of dipped.
Oh, man. You just like left.
You said that like learning kind of the traditional route, if it comes down to reading what they want you to read and doing essays, that you would learn differently by doing it yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never learned the traditional way where I like sit down, mm-hmm. write and read. I have to be doing things like physically in front of me to learn and pick that up. So I had trouble in school, but also I went to a private Catholic school.
Mm, like me too.
Uniforms and shit. Yeah.
Uniforms. Ugh.
And like being closeted and not understanding my sexuality at that time, it was like so confusing for me. And so I just hated everything about the experience and I just needed to get out of there.
Got it. So you had a bad experience in Catholic high school.
Yeah.
Seems pretty common. I did too. Like I had a class where they would tell you about being gay was a sin.
Oh,
you
yeah.
were graded on it.
And, yeah.
And it was very, it's so, it's such a ridiculous environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've recently come out that you are attracted to men and women,
yes.
right? And how long has that been?
How long have I been out?
No, attracted to both. I wish I could be attracted to both.
No, like you don't. Honestly, like, it's just twice the rejection.
No, I don't. For come you? On now. Maybe you're choosing what's going to reject you. But
I think I am.
Wait, no. But I'm curious though, because you like men and women, right?
Yes.
So the fact that you like men, and I understand, and everyone says, oh, it's not about how they look and their vibe, and it's about their heart. I think there's some of that's just...
Oh, no, I definitely have to be physically attracted right. to them.
So, like what type, physically a man, like, let's just say you're ultimate.
Okay.
Physically a man, what would he look like?
Anyone that looks even remotely close to Zayn Malik from One Direction.
Wow.
Really?
I would die for that man.
Interesting.
She likes kind of, and even though he smokes religiously, you don't care?
Oh, I don't mind.
You're like, get in my hair. I don't
give a shit.
he's a good looking guy.
He's beautiful.
She's like, he's beautiful.
Okay. I think he's fierce.
He is fierce.
That's what Tony and I call guys that have it going on, but we aren't quite into. We just call him fierce.
So we know her type.
And so for a man, it's that. For a woman, what is it?
Honestly, and I say this all the time, for women, I don't have a type. I just like, I think I'm a little bit more attracted to women because.
So what type of women are you not into then? Because you can't tell me you're into every single type of woman.
I don't know if there's like, I think with women, I'm more patient where like, if I'm not immediately physically attracted to you, I'll still get to know you. And then that attraction can form. Whereas with men are kind of trash these days. So it's like, if I'm not physically attracted to you immediately, I'm not going to waste my time because your personality probably isn't that great either. You know?
So with women, there's no,
I mean, I typically like women with like tattoos.
Okay.
Okay.
More alternative.
Yeah.
Kind of,
not super girly.
Kind of androgynous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Fashionable in yes. a way. Yep. Have yep. like a sexy flair.
Yes.
I got to know though, when you meet a guy, mm-hmm. right? Like say you're, I don't know if you're dating or not, but when you meet a guy, how do they feel whenever you tell them that you're into girls as well, that you're bi?
Sometimes if they're like, oh, that's hot. I'm like, all right, well, that's a red flag. See ya. But usually if they're just like, oh, that's cool. Like good for you. Then I'm like, okay, cool. I respect that.
Could you imagine nice. If it was the other way around, by the way? A girl meets a guy, right?
Yeah.
And then basically the guy's like, by the way, you know, I'm bi. I also mm-hmm. like to hang, you know, hook up with guys. Could you imagine the woman going, that's so hot?
Right?
Yeah, that would never happen. No. Ever.
It's weird. It's weird that men say that. Like, oh, that's hot. Why?
That's, yeah.
So do you see yourself, like, let's say in the next year, if you had to, I understand you know, you may think you're completely closed off, but I think, you know, there's always a possibility. Do you see yourself being with a man or woman?
When I picture myself in the future in a relationship, honestly, I don't know.
She sees a ghost.
Mm. I see a ghost.
She's Casper.
I see myself because I am not getting back into a relationship until like 5 years.
How long were you in the last one?
It was 9 months, but it was like,
it felt like 9 years.
Yeah. It was intense. Like we had rings. Like it was,
rings
we're talking
after 9 months.
It was intense.
Wait, with a guy or a girl?
A guy.
Oh. And do you look like Zayn Malik?
A little, but really? Not really. He had tattoos. He has dark hair, dark eyes.
When are, okay. So with tattoos, because you like guys with tattoos, right? And you have a lot of tattoos.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, am I just describing myself?
How many tattoos do you probably have?
Oh, I have a ton. I have a bunch under here, too. I
so
have
what, like 30 here. Of them?
Probably around there.
Okay. If you see a guy with tattoos, are you ever like this, even though he has like, let's say, a lot of tattoos, is there certain types of tattoos that just turn you off?
Yes.
Like what?
I don't like super, super colorful tattoos or like.
Koi.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to see any more koi.
Or like one time
or
I was
dragons.
I was seeing this guy. Oh, I hope he never sees this. But he had flame tattoos like tattooed around his neck and they were like bright red and orange and yellow. And I was just like, I just don't know how I feel about that. To no. each their own. If you're into it, cool. But I am not.
Felt like Hot Topic.
Yeah,
on
it, was,
the body.
It was a little much for me.
And then like, what about face tattoos?
Oh, I love.
You love a face tattoo.
I like that look. Like I like the grungy bad boy look.
Is there any type of face tattoo where you're just like, no, that ain't right though?
I mean, yeah, it's on your face. It's got to be a good face tattoo.
Mm. What's a good face tattoo?
I mean, like Kehlani has amazing face tattoos.
Yeah, she does.
She's my ultimate woman crush.
Wow.
Probably get her number.
She followed me on Twitter recently.
Ooh. Oh, well, there you go.
I know. Baby
she's
steps.
Super cool too.
Yeah.
I did an event where she spoke at it and she was awesome.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I got to ask though, since, because we went a little off topic. I want to know with you being in the closet, going to Catholic school, like dropping out of high school, did that take a toll on like your mental health? Like, did that take like a big hit?
I think dropping out honestly helped my mental health. I was really struggling in school, mostly because I didn't understand what I was feeling. Because where I grew up, I didn't even know that bisexual was an option. Mm. And so every time I was like attracted to a girl, I kept telling myself, well, I still like guys, so I'm not gay. I can't be gay. I still like guys. And so it was like this internal struggle that just drove me insane. And once I finally moved to LA and there were so many more people that were open with their sexuality and proud of their sexuality, it made me understand myself so much more. So I think if anything, it helped my mental nice. Health.
I'm curious, just because you, again, I'm jealous that you get to the option of
two different don't be genders.
Mike, don't. You not trying to, you know, you'd probably have some kids. So it's probably best that you
don't.
You, if you went both ways.
Oh, would I have? I probably moved to Texas and like raised a family on a lake and like we would have two or three vacations a year.
That sounded nice, man. That's what I want to do.
It's not me, man. I'm like, I don't see that happening. I mean, Tony, that sounds good too at a certain point. But for me, I'm like, I don't want
to live on a ranch.
No, with kids.
And I want to live on a ranch. I talk about it all the time. I want to move to Wyoming. I want to have goats.
It's the best feeling.
So. Being that you've had both men and women pursuing you, and I know I'm generalizing, right? But from your experience, has there been like a man or woman that just would not take no? Like it was almost like it was so obviously no, you set boundaries and no, it was not going anywhere, no. Have you had both genders not think that no means yes?
I've never had that issue with women, but I've had so many men that just don't take no. Like, it's unbelievable. I've like had to threaten restraining orders. I'm not even kidding. There's this one actor, I'll tell you afterwards who it is, but it's like, and he's like well known, but everybody, all the women in the industry, like, no, like, don't talk to him. He's crazy. He will stalk you. It's crazy. I don't understand what goes through men's minds.
But none of the women talk about him.
Publicly?
They won't say his name.
No.
Why will no women say his name?
I don't know.
Doesn't it seem weird in today's time, though? Like, no women want to...
I mean, I almost did this year because he was in headlines a lot, but...
I'm like this, Mike. I'm like, who is it?
No,
it's like, pretty easy to guess if you think about the last year.
So it's easy to guess based upon the last year.
Yeah.
Actor.
Yes.
Any other hint?
He had an engagement.
I love the way you said
that. He had an engagement.
No longer does.
Wow.
An actor who had an engagement who no longer does.
I don't follow things like that. That often.
Oh, it was everywhere, you guys.
Oh my, no.
He was engaged and it's all over the news. Do you remember this, Tony?
I do not.
God, we don't keep up that much, I guess, with who's engaged.
I really don't.
You know what I mean?
Well,
we can Google afterwards and we can guess.
You were writing a book, so there's no way.
A little was, occupied.
Wait, right? Okay. Now, I don't want to push this too far, but you can't give us four names and we guess? No.
No.
No, it's too much.
No.
Yeah, we can't
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out after.
I believe in you.
I got you. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to you after. So what if anything, do you find that you want to improve more in your life?
I've been working really hard this last year on just like getting into healthy habits, because in the beginning of quarantine, I was doing really bad habits. I was drinking way too much. Mm. I was blacked out by 2 p.m. every day.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was bad. I was in and out of AA. I was like really trying to get a hold of my life. And so from that, I mean, that all stemmed from like a really bad breakup, and it was just like the quarantine was happening. My dad was going through a lot. Vodka. I was just downing vodka.
Did you care what kind?
You could have put any alcohol in front of me. I would have
drank vodka. It. So you literally would be drinking all night and morning?
It would be like, I mean, it's all so blurry, like that whole month, but it was like I would start drinking at noon or 2 p.m., be blacked out by like 5 p.m., wake up at 2 a.m., not remembering how I woke up on the bathroom floor. Like it was not good.
Wow.
Yeah. So I finally kind of like had a realization where it's like, I either keep doing what I'm doing and just destroy everything I've worked so hard for over the last 10 years and lose the people that I love in my life, or like fucking put my big girl pants on and fix this shit. So I started going to AA and all that kind of stuff and got a hold on my life again. And so from then I've just been trying to like implement.
Are you sober now?
Here and there, I'll drink.
You go to AA when you feel like you need the down in the trenches help.
Yes, yes.
And then you feel like, okay, maybe this had to do with the breakup, and I'm non-alcoholic. And
yeah, I mean, I definitely recognize that I struggle with addiction in certain areas. It runs in my family, and so I definitely try not to drink. But like for my birthday, I'll drink, or like if I'm on vacation, I'll have a margarita and shit like that. But I definitely had to pull the reins in and be like, yo, There's no reason to be drinking at home alone. There's no reason.
Yeah. So that's, you're getting out of that habit and you feel like you've gotten out of it.
Yeah. I'm still working on just like trying to eat, like implement healthy habits, like going to the gym every day or staying focused on creative things like painting and just healthy things.
Well, what would you say is the, sometimes it's helpful to figure out like what's most unhealthy mm-hmm. to start. I mean, for both of you, what would you say is like the thing in your life today that you think is, and just give it a second and think, right? You don't have to answer right away. But the thing that, and by the way, it could be the conversation you have with yourself, mm-hmm. doesn't even have to be the action, but what is something that is kind of daily that you know is unhealthy, but you kind of just, it hasn't like blown up, so you can kind of just let it chill, but it lurks, right? Can you, either of you identify anything that just feels unhealthy on a day-to-day basis?
I think mine would be like, I generally close myself off from everyone. I mean, that's why I said like, I stick to myself. I'm kind of a loner. And sometimes I think I do that to a fault where like, I don't really have anyone to reach out to at times when I do need somebody to reach out to, because I just self-sabotage and cut people off before they can cut me off. So I think
that's, have you always done that?
I think I've spiraled with it in the last year because of quarantine and because of the breakup I went through. It just felt like everyone was going to leave me first, so I'll leave them. And so that's kind of a habit that spiraled out of control. And now I just stay in my little Santa Monica home by myself.
Got it. But like part of you knows that's not what you're, that's not like your truth, like of how you would live if you're being totally yourself. If you wouldn't close off and sabotage people.
Yeah.
It would be, what would it look like, do you think?
I used to be a very social person. I enjoy being around people. I like going out and doing things. But I think from the breakup I went through, it was really, really traumatic. And it just caused me to have a lack of trust in everyone around me. And then on top of that, I've had like two best friends. The one that I was living with years ago, I came out to, and she was like, she was the first person I came out to. She knew I was bi for 4 years. We were living together. And then one day when I asked her to pay rent, she said, well, actually, I think you're going to hell because you're bisexual and I'm moving back across the country. So I've had like really big people in my life just dip out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's caused me to just be like, I just don't even want to get too close.
Get too close to people. And are you close with your family?
Extremely.
But they live far away, right?
Yeah.
And so you have a pretty small group of people. You've been in kind of this, you went through a breakup at the beginning of quarantine, which I'm sorry you went through that, because that was a hard time period, right? For everyone. And then you've had some experiences where you feel like people have essentially abandoned or left you, right? Mm-hmm. And the pain of that sucks. But then at the same time, you don't want to sabotage potentially good and great people.
Yeah.
Because there's also a lot of people that maybe wouldn't abandon you, right?
Yeah.
And so I wonder what, and I'm going to ask Tony, what you're, you know, kind of.
I
can
honestly like agree with you. I think the fact that I choose when I want to talk to people and when I don't, like when I want to communicate with people, and I feel like I try now to, there's good people in my life that come try to communicate with me and I don't give them the time of day, which is kind of fucked up. And I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
Like they're honestly good people because I've had close people to me. And now these people are MIA. And I'm just like, damn, like I focus so much on these people that I forgot about them.
Yeah.
The other people that have been trying to contact me and that actually support everything that I do. Mm-hmm. So I think now more than ever, I'm like, call them. See how they're doing. They call you all the time. Like just make that phone call, send that text out. Like today I send my friend a text who I've been kind of like ducking and dodging. And now I'm like more open to her where I'm like, hey, I hope you have a good day today.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that, where I'm like, I don't want to be so closed off because that's not okay.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And in friendships, it can get to where it's about business.
Yeah.
You know, because the lines can cross.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with having friends you do business with because that makes it actually great. But then if you start to go through stressors or hard times, or you feel like you can't open up about things because you're doing business with them, that makes it tricky too. And especially in the social media culture, influencer culture, mm-hmm. relevance culture, where, you know, people give you more attention when you're hot, when yeah. things are really going. And certain people will just give you the love no matter what.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
One thing I think, and you both have a piece of paper and pen that's helpful, and we don't take time to really think about, is what I would want you to do, and to your point, Tony, of like, because everyone needs to reconnect in life right now.
Yeah.
Like everyone, you know, it's why I even said like, hey, I'm putting together this group,
yeah.
right? Is because I know deep down, everyone has this feeling of like, not a quiet desperation, but like a wanting to belong, but like not knowing how to belong. Yeah. And there are people in our lives for everyone that are pretty cool to us. And sometimes we're like, well, what's their agenda or what's yep. their intention, right? Because of our past, we shut them off. So I'd want you both to write down three people that you feel like would be good just to connect with or to put more energy into.
In my life?
Mm. So three, but when I say three people, it could be calling that person. Like I can give you an example. I called this woman, my friend Stacy at Disney. She's an executive. I've always liked Stacy. And we were supposed to get lunch like 2 years ago and we didn't. And I'm like, hey, I've always wanted to get to know you a little more. Like I've always liked your vibe. And then we got lunch and now we're going to start hanging out. And she's like, cool. There's no weirdness. It's just like, there's people we come across that we have to reach out.
Yeah.
We can't wait for other people. We can't wait for God or universe to just deliver us humans who are going to be perfect.
Like, why not?
Well, isn't it really a better deal when we get to choose some people anyways?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like going on blind dating and having no choice. So what I want you to do is write down three people that you think would be a good investment to reach out, connect with, grab a cup of coffee, shoot the shit with, even talk to. I find too, a lot of people want to offer wisdom or advice mm-hmm. if they feel like they don't need to do anything for you, but just offer advice. Yeah. People, like we all love helping other people. It gets funky when people are like, can you also post about that? Can you do this? Can you do that? Then it gets funky, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people want to help us. That's part of the nature of our life. So Tony, did you write down three?
Yes.
All right, let's hear your list.
The three people that are on my list, one is my grandma, just to, I feel like I just need to call her more often.
You just don't. If
I do not as often as I should.
Intentionally, you don't.
I'm like, even if it's a 10-minute conversation, I just feel like I need to just connect with her more because my grandpa just passed away last year. So I feel like it's like something that I want to connect with her more. So definitely my grandma, someone who I haven't spoken to in over a year, and it's not really a good investment, but it would put a good place in my heart. It would feel good is my dad. Mm. He is someone who just does absolutely doesn't accept me for who I am.
For but being gay.
Yeah.
And has been brutal, right?
Yeah. Now he's threatened to like, you know, practically kill me.
Yeah.
So I definitely would want to reach out to him. The last time I did was when I got a really big brand deal for Bud Light and I called him here and he didn't pick up and I left him a voicemail, but I got emotional, but that's someone who I would just want to just connect with just to say, hey, like I'm still alive. I'm still here. I still care about you. And my sister, I feel like my sister just had two kids, but I feel like I can connect with her more to let her know that I'm always going to be here for moral support. Those are three people that I feel like I need to connect to.
Cool. How about you, Andrea?
I feel like the only people I really do talk to on a daily basis are my family. So mine are just like people that have been friends in my life that just kind of drifted naturally, but were good relationships and good friendships that there's no bad blood, no falling out, that I just need to put the work in to reconnect. So those are my three.
So you have three names on there, and are they different types of people? Are they?
Yeah. One is a girl who was my manager for like 5 years. We were like best friends, sisters, but she moved to Pennsylvania, but she just moved back to LA. So I really want to reconnect, but
isn't that crazy too, when you can spend so much time with people and then if the business relationship ends, it doesn't mean that the friendship has to end.
Yeah.
But sometimes we make them transactional.
Yeah.
But like, we always got along, so why wouldn't we be friends, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I really want to make the effort to reach out to her. And then the other two are just friends that I've had for years, and then things happen, people grow in different ways, different directions, that I just want to reach out to.
And those feel safe?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those good don't people. Feel like you would have your trust broken?
Oh, no. Or... they're not in the industry at all.
Gotcha.
Which is always good.
Yeah, and there's no romance involved.
Oh, God, no, no, no.
Yours seems a little more intense, Tony.
Yeah.
With, like, your dad, because it seems like, what would your expectation be?
He wouldn't want to talk. I mean, I can call him, but he wouldn't give it the time of day. But yet again, none of my siblings have contacted him. So he's just MI on everybody. Like, more me, obviously. Like, when my the divorce was official with my parents, he decided to go to Mexico. And all of my siblings, it's six of us. They all five of them went to go say bye to him. And I called him and he didn't pick up. And I texted my brother. I'm like, hey, like, I'm in town. I'm actually 15 minutes away, like, I can stop by. And he was just like, I think it's best if you don't. So like, I was the one person that wasn't able to like see him before he left to Mexico. I think he's back now, but it's just like, I don't know.
It's, you know, it's a I'm impressed by you, because I feel like, you know, like, we all cope with life in different ways, right? And from your dad to also your mom not accepting you for a long time, like, a lot of people would use that as an excuse to completely be like, I'm gonna like fuck up my life. I'm gonna act out, party. I'm gonna go with these people who party, who accept me, right? Like, that's like a common thing. But the fact that you've like not done that is impressive, because I can't imagine what it would be like to have parents not be cool with something that you can't change.
Exactly. I gotta ask, I mean, I know, Mike, your parents accepted you. Well, how about your parents? Were they like?
My parents, I always knew they would accept me, but growing up Catholic, I was still so, so, so afraid to come out to them. I actually did it over text because I didn't have the balls to do it even on the phone. But of course, they were super accepting. They're both very, very creative people. Thank you. So yeah, they're very accepting. And since coming out, my sister also came out as bisexual, and they've just like learned a lot and wanted to understand and have totally changed their views on a lot of things with the church. They said they disagree with a lot of stuff. So baby steps, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we have the universe decide sombrero.
Ooh.
So you're going to pull out two questions and answer them. Okay. Where's the universe? Oh, here it is. So this is the universe.
That's not a sombrero.
Well, it's a fishing hat. We'll say it's a bucket. Not, it's a fishing hat. Not a,
have you seen a sombrero before?
I mean, I bought it. Remember? Okay. So I was recording my audiobook for my last book, One Decision. And I went to like, what was it? An AMPM or 7-Eleven?
It's AMPM.
And I went in there and I found this hat and I put it on. And like, I couldn't believe how much sun is protected by wearing this thing. And I started saying to Tony, I think I'm going to just start wearing these hats all the time. But I haven't. But it was so, remember, I was like walking around for a while with this hat on. I was like making content with that hat.
It was a moment for you.
Yeah, no, because I didn't realize like how much sun is blocked. Like, you're walking around with an umbrella on your head.
Yeah, literally.
So here are your universe. You pick two. Never know what it's going to ask you.
I'm scared. Okay. Let's see here. If the voice inside your head was some kind of character, what would the character look like, sound like, and say?
Ooh.
I always think the voice in my head is me, but then I'm also like, maybe it's not. I would hope a cool, cool character, like tattoos. Maybe a little bit like Zayn Malik if it's a guy. Maybe we bring it to life. I don't know. What would yours look like?
Oh, well, mine's a wizard.
Of course, obviously.
Yeah. So my character is definitely a wizard, and he casts spells and hangs out, and he wears colorful clothing.
It's way better than Zayn Malik.
Yeah, I got like wizard here.
Ooh.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
My buddy, you know, Nico Hurtado is. It's like a tattoo artist. He does like realism stuff.
Yeah.
He's been on the podcast. So mine's a wizard. What would yours be, Tony?
I don't know. I feel like mine would be like, he'd be a little crazy.
Not Waldo.
No.
Oh, okay.
Nah,
Gumby?
He'd be a little crazy. He'd be like fun. He'd be tall, but he would also be very good looking. So.
Of course. Of course. There it is.
Yes.
Okay.
I literally like look like an old dude with a fisherman hat on.
Who's been the worst influence on you in your life? Ooh. That is such a good question. Who's been the worst influence? I mean, there's been so many bad influences in LA. I feel like it's so easy to fall into bad influence in LA. I had an era where I was like 20, about to be 21. Mm. And it was like, we knew all the club promoters and we were in the club every night and just like doing dumb shit, a lot of drugs, a lot of endless nights. So I think just that crowd maybe was the worst influence. I really just kind of fell apart there for a good 6 months.
When you did drugs, like drugs were the worst influence?
Yeah.
Like partying all the time?
Like nonstop.
What were you partying with?
We were doing coke. I was doing Molly, like dumb shit.
Why do you say damn?
Because I'm like very clean.
Can
I don't
you tell
really
them
do.
That one story? Or no, you don't want to tell it.
Oh, I just had like a really bad experience in Vegas a couple years back where, and I think it did, I feel like everything happens for a reason, mm-hmm. where I did coke and I did, I was in a couple lines, like it was my second time ever trying it. Mm-hmm. And I was with like, you know, these bodybuilders. Yeah. I was filming out there and I was with these massive guys who take it like it's candy.
Yep.
And there was a point where towards the end of the night, right before we went to the club, it was like, all right, well, we all feel great. Let's all pop a Molly. And I was just like, am I good? Like I knew I was, I marked on my arm how many lines I did.
Yeah.
The next day I woke up and it was like a good 12 to 15. And then on top of that, I did the Molly.
Oh my God.
And so then it just, I just had the worst trip.
Yeah.
Like I remember like the next day, I had DM'd someone who I had seen that night where I was tripping.
Yeah.
And they had DM'd me saying that you look like you were a crackhead. I felt so bad for you.
Damn.
And I remember that night, like if it was like the worst night, I thought I was going to get arrested. Yeah. I thought I was going to go to jail. Like I was so scared.
Yeah.
And so since then I haven't, like anytime that I drink, mm-hmm. if I do drink, I feel like a sense of like anxiety.
Yeah.
And so even if I, even just whenever people talk about doing drugs, I get like anxiety. Like I feel like, oh my God, like to me, it's like, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because you don't 100%. Know what can happen.
Oh yeah.
Or you don't know what you're consuming. Like what if it's not?
I had a night similar to that with Molly where I accidentally took enough Molly for like six people. I mean, it was like horrible. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't go to bed till like 7 a.m. We were like walking around in the streets of LA at like 4 a.m. trying to find food. It was like just horrifying. And then from that, I was like, I'm just never doing that again. Never in my life am I going to put myself through that again.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I've had some real bad ones too. But like, I mean, with lines, I would always get a flashlight out because I thought some of it fell on the floor. So I'd be trying to find dust bunnies. I literally snorted dust bunnies, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
But I had this one experience where I did GHB and drank, mm-hmm. and you're not supposed to mix the two.
Yeah.
I mean, and ketamine. Like I'd like mix them.
Oof.
And I remember at the time my brother was partying, my older brother, and we were hanging out with stripper women. It was like a few guys and all like, honestly, like club stripper, like hot girl women. And I remember I kept throwing up and I was like, I don't know what's happening to me. And then I woke up next to me with a woman. I still remember she was a redhead, like playing with herself. And I was like, this is like the worst,
like,
because I'm like, what is going on? what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? Like, I'm laying in bed. This other chick's next to me in bed. And I'm like, you know, that this is a little off, you know?
Yeah.
I know for a lot of people, they would be like, that's amazing, bro. Like, for me, I was like,
what have I done?
What have I done? Like, what is going on here?
How did I get here?
But it's, you know, like, it's interesting how, we all, like, when we go through dark times, like, we want to escape in whatever way it is. Like,
yep.
You know, whether it's isolating, sabotaging, drugs, alcohol, you know, but definitely the people we surround ourselves with dictate so much of how much our life opens up,
yeah,
true,
or closes out.
Yeah.
And I think when we hang out with people who party a lot and are about the lifestyle, from my experience, we're more likely to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because we're more likely to deal with people who aren't rational all the time, logical all the time, balanced all the time. And so, I mean, I think that could be a good indicator for you in terms of, like, you know, who are just the party people and...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think they had an influence on your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I unfortunately give in to peer pressure pretty easily.
No way.
So when I was freshly 21...
Yeah, she hangs out with like two people.
I had to really cut everybody off.
Like a clown walks down the street and is like, hey, girl, do you want to try some candy?
I'm like, hell yeah, I do. Yeah. Sure.
Is that peppermint?
That looks good.
Like Pennywise. Pennywise. Like, oh, what? She totally is that naive, right?
She's I really used to be that naive. And so I really had to weed people out. And like now my very best friend is like a year sober.
Nice.
And a lot of people in my life are sober. So it's a lot easier to not fall back into that rabbit hole.
Come yeah, through sobriety.
Sure. Right?
I said, come through sobriety. Yes.
Well, listen, I loved having you join us today. And where can everyone kind of find what's going on with you that's most recent and follow your music? And
Twitter, Instagram. It's all Andrea Russet, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever you prefer.
And your latest song is?
It's called Freezing. And it's my favorite song I've ever made. It drops on June 18th. And it's June a banger. 18th.
It's a banger.
It's a banger.
Okay, I'll have to make it. Is it going to be on TikTok too?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to do a TikTok. We have to do a TikTok video to Freezer. I have a new TikTok video out. I think it's a hit. It's called Sword Fight. It's kind of like a gay anthem that I'm trying to create. So I may teach you the sword fight dance after this, and then we can post on TikTok.
Oh, I have if you're down. No rhythm, but I'll try.
You don't need some for this
okay,
dance.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for checking in. Talk to you soon. Make sure you click and subscribe. Follow Andrea Russet on all social media platforms and keep it magical. Bye. The Always Evolving with Coach Mike Bear podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional, medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnoses, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during this podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professionals.